This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 9th of March, 1954. The title of this lecture is Beingness and Communication. This lecture is 34 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is a half an hour March 9th lecture on beingness. As individual auditing. The earlier processing hour that preceded this has in it all the basic processes. It has all of them. If you feel racked up or slewed around because of this, every process that is productive of results consistently and continually and well tested as such was in the March 9 basic processing hour. As auditors, you're expected to know and be able to use every single one of those processes on groups and on individuals. If those were all the processes which you knew, you would continue to achieve results on and on and on with any preclear who came to you. One kind or another, you get results. Now, you understand that there is another subject, in addition to these types of processes, is a subject of exteriorization, just getting somebody out. That is a specialized process. And along with that are the first steps used after you've exteriorized somebody, and that is known as the grand tour. So you have to know the grand tour, the special methods of exteriorization, and all these processes, a sample of which, of each, being on the March 9 basic processing tapes. Now that is the extent of what you have to know. Plus this one, beingness. Now, yesterday we had a little run at this. I'm going to go over it much more thoroughly. During this coming week, I want you all to participate in a little project. And that project consists of how many things can Homo sapiens be with certainty. And I want you to take a list of the things which your preclear can be with certainty. And at the end of the week, I want you to have a complete list. And that is expected of you, a necessity that that be in at the end of the week. We want to make up a list of things to assist auditors. There is some hope that somebody might use this on a basis of the assist which we would thereby get together by all the things which you would turn in. Now, what in the first place is beingness? Beingness is synonymous with arrival. A communication line must have in it duplication from cause to effect. The picture and graph of communication is simply this. C, line, E. Cause, distance, effect. And that is the graph of communication. Conversation is graphed this way. C, dash, E. And then under that last E, a new C, a line going back and under the first C and E. You see that? Cause to effect and then new cause to effect. That's a conversation. That's two terminals in action, one against the other. All right. Our problem in processing the preclear is a problem in terms of causes and effects. You see that? Now, a reality and affinity are only modifiers of communication. That says, what kind? These are the things which add significance to communication. Agreement and affinity, which is to say agreement, disagreement, ideas concerning, all that sort of thing, with which to agree and disagree, what is reality, so forth. That is all covered under the subject of reality, and that is a modifier of communication in general. Now let's take effect. Effect means simply receipt point. And affinity and reality simply modify what is at the receipt point. They modify what is going from the cause point to the receipt point. affinity. It would have to do with the various emotions and tangles of energy, the various types of energy, even down into effort, could be covered under actually this bracket called affinity. Affinity is likeness or unlikeness. With the wave or not with the wave. A type of wave or another type of wave. Affinity could be characterized as any waveform or any co-acting waveform. A sine wave has affinity for a sine wave, and so on. A wavelength of a certain spread from node to node has affinity for a wavelength of the same spread from node to node, or its harmonics. Now, this is terribly, terribly mechanical. It is simply this. We have communication. The basic modus operandi of existence is to cause an effect. The mechanical operation of how an effect is caused is embraced primarily by communication, which, of course, also embraces attention. And that is modified by reality and affinity. And so we get ARC, but that C is way up on top, meaning communication. Now there's another C, which ought to be defined and probably symbolized as CA, instead of communication, CO. And that's cause. Now that cause is defined solely as this, emanation point. It isn't the idea or the intent or anything else. It's simply the emanation point and anything in its immediate vicinity, so that you can pick up cause at any time, but you can also backtrack cause. Now let's take the problem of the fellow who was shot by the rifle. What caused his being shot by a rifle? All right, let's take it in this most intimate thing. It must have been the powder. See, that powder was cause in that case. Now we'll get a little more significant, but we go on to a new communication line entirely. And we say it was the firing pin. And we say, well, it wasn't the firing pin, it was the hammer. No, it wasn't the hammer, it was the trigger. No, it wasn't the trigger, it was the gun in its entirety. No, it wasn't the gun in its entirety, it was the fellow who was shooting the gun. No, it wasn't the fellow who was shooting the gun. Actually, it was his wife, because he had an argument with her that morning, and he was in a very upset condition, and so he picked up the rifle and shot somebody. And you say, well, that isn't the cause of the situation at all, because the truth of the matter was, the person that caused that whole shooting was the baby, because he cried all night, and his wife was in bad mental condition, and that is what made her upset, so the baby actually shot the man. Now, what is this system? What are we doing here? We're taking this good, clean communication line, C to E, cause to effect, and we're disregarding its first line, first point, rather, its source point, as a unit point. And what we're doing is putting new cause-effect lines in front of the cause and effect line with which we're dealing. New ones. You see, trigger to hammer is a C to E line. Hammer to firing pin is a C to E line. Firing pin to cap is a C to E line. And cap to powder is a C to E line. And powder to bullet through barrel is a C to E line. In other words, we can backtrack off of any communication system into a lot of significances, which means simply into new communication lines. And any time we start to examine a communication line, we will find out that it's possible to move off C and find a prior cause to C. And that's possible all through the universe. Unless one is dealing with an original and basic postulate on the part of a thetan. And this is prima causis. And we have, in this line, we have something that can be traced. The thetan got an idea, and it caused an effect over here. So we're back to cause point. but in people who are intensely bogged down in the meshed universe, the fact that every cause-to-effect line as a unit can be backed up by every cause-to-effect line you can imagine until you've embraced the whole universe starts people thinking in this way. Greater significance. What caused the cause that caused the cause, the cause, the cause, the cause, the cause? And then a society sooner or later will come up to a level of culture where they just abandon the whole thing. They get into complete apathy every place and they say, well, God caused it. And nobody caused God and we're done with this problem and we're not going to go back any further. Now, this is a strictly nothing more nor less than a problem of abandonment. You see, they run it back to this, and that's all the cause there was. Well, people think causes go back in time because every cause and effect line which they see can be plotted against time. A certain thing took place on a communication at a certain time. Well, therefore, every prior CDE line then was in a new time, so therefore it was earlier. And people ask the reason, why are we here? Therefore, we'll track all these CDE lines, and this will tell us, balderdash, it won't tell us for a moment why we are here, because I'll let you in on something very, very, very important to you in trying to run resistive 5s, 6s, and 18s. There isn't any reason. The big secret of the meshed universe is there isn't any. All right. Now, do you see, then, that you can take a segment of any system and find a C to E line which is direct and straight? You can take a segment of any system. Let's take the system of the baby who was up all night to the fellow who was buried at Woodlawn. Let's just take that as a communication system. Causes and effects rapidly ensuing one right after the other. We find out that the baby being up all night and upsetting his mother is a C to E. The baby was a C, and mother was E. All right, that's one CE. All right, now let's go to the next line, and let's find that C to E ensued when mother had a fight with father. CE. Mother cause, father effect. Okay, now let's throw that out. And we'll see that we've got a new CE line. Now let's take father going out and hunting. He left the house and arrived at the hunting field. That's a new CDE line. So he picked up his rifle, CDE, and pulled the trigger, which pulled the hammer, which pulled the firing pin, which hit the cap, which hit the powder, which sent the bullet out and arrived at. Okay. How many CDE lines have we just quoted there? There are a whole lot of them, aren't there? All right. The bullet hit the fellow. Now, that was C, and the impact and shock which occurred in his body, of course, was E. You see? So we've got a new line. And, of course, we get all sorts of people in there. We get the doctor who examined him and pronounced him dead, and we can say that's a CDE line. Here's, by the way, many people get all balled up in logic because they mistake what a CE line is. And they say, well, the doctor pronounced him dead, therefore the doctor killed him. Very simple. I mean, you find people maundering around through existence all bogged down on things like this. You processed the pre-clear and he died, therefore you killed him. Obvious to people. I mean, they're all saying. Merely because of these C to E lines, life looks very involved and complicated. What's a thetan trying to do with the body? A thetan is trying to string a line from himself as cause to the body as effect, and through the body, a new C to E line effect on other people and on beingness and on the meshed universe in general, and a whole package of CE lines. But he's trying to string at least one straight line. Therefore, each and every time that you can get a thetan to complete a cycle, C to E, why, he'll be much happier about it, because his whole forward action is in this, trying to cause an effect, in other words, to complete the line. And so determined do people become in trying to go from C to E that they at length, having failed many times, begin to consider themselves a communication particle. If you took a lot of pre-clears and put an address and a stamp on their foreheads and shoved them in a mailbox, they'd be real happy. They are a communication. They are a particle on a line. seeing, you see, this complex system of CDEs and being meshed down in the mesh universe and no longer themselves able to create and cause anything, they begin to see that everything is caused behind them, which is caused behind somebody else, and everything depends on something else, which ultimately devolves upon the fact of no responsibility, no responsibility, no responsibility, because they were never at cause, you see. Well, the way they get into this no responsibility thing is they get lost in this maze of cause to effect. What's cause? Cause is simply the point of impulse or particle. What is the line? It is the course of the impulse or particle. What is the effect? It is the receipt point of the impulse or particle. You can overreach this and get so much more significant that you will never figure it out, simply because it immediately starts a fellow racking off into the far fields of what caused this, which caused that, which caused this, which caused that. Now you get a pre-clear's having a bad time. He's looking through his bank and he's saying, well, that was cause and that was cause and that was cause. He's trying to trace lines, see? And he looked through the bank and each time he's saying that was cause, he's saying, I'm an effect. And every time he says, I am an effect, he's liable to be saying, I am a body or I am a betrayed person or I am something else. Something else is cause other than self. So the story of a person who is mixed up in the middle of a thinking or considering machine is the story of somebody who's going around looking for cause. Now, it's an effective process just to have an individual walk around the room and select various objects in the room and say, that's cause, that's the cause of all my ills. Because that's what he's doing. You're permitting him to dramatize exactly what he's doing. He's trying to find the C points all through the bank. See that? All right, in the course of existence, an individual goes from C to E. He says, I'm going to be a fireman. The day he is ordained a fireman, he, of course, is at E. He has achieved his goal. What's goals? Goals, in terms of communication, is from the moment of desire or inception or creation of the goal to the point where the goal materializes or doesn't materialize. The Thetan is always trying to go down this communication line. He characterizes it in terms of trying to be something. He tries to be, he tries to be. And he's stuck on more lines. And as long as he is stuck on a line, in other words, he tried to be something or he tried not to be something, and he wouldn't become that which he tried not to be, and he couldn't become that which he tried to be, each time he did this, he hung up someplace on a line. So he's at non-arrival, non-arrival, non-arrival. Now you ask a pre-clear to hold the two back corners of the room. If he's in pretty bad shape, you would examine exactly what he was doing. You would find out that he was coming maybe two-thirds of the way to the corners of the room. There's a blank between the corner of the room and the end of the line which he's trying to hold on to there with. In other words, he can't arrive. The person who does not keep an appointment can't arrive. The person who can't get ready until a taxi cab is present, you know, taxi cab has to be at the door, and then they start to change their shoes, is a person who is having a big upset on the subject of arrival. He can't be sure anything will arrive. So he has to see it and feel it, know it's there, before he knows he's going to go anyplace. You see, all this ties in with behavior. We go over that rapidly. It should become very plain to you in a very short space of time. Not arrive. Now, this individual who is early in life was going to be a painter. What's the matter with this fellow? Well, happiness is the overcoming of not unknowable obstacles toward a known goal. That is a definition of happiness which holds pretty well. Not unknowable obstacles. This fellow knows that every time he tries to go in any particular direction, he's going to run into a barrier of some sort. It's either going to be a barrier of too great a distance, a barrier of time, he's going to be too late or too early, or it's going to be just a plain barrier, which we understand as barrier, such as a brick wall. This fellow has the belief that if he tries to paint anymore, he will run into a brick wall or something. This is even in the colloquial idioms of many languages, the running into a brick wall. He's going to be stopped. He can't reach his goals. There isn't any distance here. There's no distance at all. It is not a proper communication to say, I'm going to be a painter, and then go across a communication line and be a painter. There's no geographical area involved in it. He says, I'm going to be a painter in New York City. He puts geographical area into it. But actually, there shouldn't be any time in the culmination of ambition. But this individual has been stopped so often that he believes that all of these ambitions are subject to communication lines. Now, a man is as alive as his dreams are alive. And he's as dead as he hasn't any dreams anymore. Why won't he dream? That's because he knows he can't arrive. He can't postulate a single goal because he knows he'll never get there. He has what you call mental barriers. What are these mental barriers? They're the consistent and continual on and on accumulation of having been stopped and disabused of his dreams and goals. And they base themselves squarely on having run into or been stopped by distances or material objects. And that eventually, running into walls, eventually accumulates sufficiently so that an individual knows he can't talk. Well, why does he know he can't talk? Well, he knows he can't create an effect. Why can't he create an effect? Because his words won't arrive at the person he's talking to. And so, therefore, he can't talk. And you take a fellow stammering all the time. Boy, has he been slapped flat. You know, he started to say, hello, Mama, and he got a slap across the mouth. Often enough so that he knew that every time he tried to put out a communication line, his communication line was going to be stopped. Only he was going to be stopped as a physical object. So therefore, the physical objects of the material universe get caught in a person's mind in the form of facsimiles. And an individual is unable to achieve his goals. He can't arrive. In other words, he can't be anything. Why can't he be anything? Well, he knows everything he tries to be, he's going to be stopped. What's going to stop him? Well, he just knows things are going to stop him. But if you examined it very carefully, you would find out that it was mechanical objects which were going to stop him, barriers, distances, and things like that. The fellow's going to say, well, I think I'll sit here and read this book. But then he knows he can't sit there and read that book. What's stopping him? Well, this is a different type of barrier. The barrier of time. He hasn't got time to read the book. He knows that. Why hasn't he time? It's because he is sort of being driven on and on and on and on and on. In other words, some other cause is operating upon him to make him concentrate entirely upon the quest, let us say, for food. The effort to try to be something, to be alive in this case. So he hasn't any time to spare. Why hasn't he any time to spare? Well, he knows that the C to E lines are so critical and that he is being driven so hard by them that he's going to have an awful hard time arriving where he has to go. He hasn't any time to fritter away an hour or two on a book. You see, that E line, he's got to go down that line to get to that arrival point. Now, if you ask these individuals just exactly where they're going when they're very hectic about it, what are you going to do? Well, they'll get rather upset with you. You just tangle them all up in their lines because they're really not going anyplace. The fellow who hasn't got an hour to read a book is in terrible condition. Now, these people who just haven't got the time, they will get to a point, they start in on that, of pressing. Pressure, got to, and then they'll sit around and talk about got to. And you run into one of these boys and he'll say, well, I just haven't got the time to do anything because, you know, I've just got to get this and that. One of the best examples of this was in Erskine Caldwell's God's Little Acre, where the old man sits on the steps all afternoon and says, well, boys, we better be getting down to get that man. All afternoon, he's pushing on it, sitting on the steps of the house, not making any slightest motion toward the conclusion of his mission. He's just got to, though. He knows that. And the individual, after a while, will be so barriered, so knocked into immobility, that he won't move in any direction. He will just sit and have no time. What happens when he has no time? His whole bank jams. That's what happens. He hasn't got any effort or anything else left. You've found people around, I'm sure, who will tell you by the hour that they haven't got any time to do anything and how rushed they are and how hard they're working, and so on, they're not doing a thing. And it might have seemed rather curious to you why this person could worry so much about not having any time to do anything when, as a matter of fact, they were spending all of their time doing nothing. Now, that's an inability to arrive. Well, this guy can't even start. Time goes out. Distance goes out. And the barriers are in. And he gets more and more solid. In any direction that he tries to think, in any direction that he tries to act, he knows he's going to be blocked. Why? He can't arrive, that's why. In other words, he can't be anything. Now, an individual has stuck himself on so many of these lines back through the past, if his case is hard to run, he's just stuck on so many of these lines that he's looking everywhere else for cause. What is sticking him on these lines? What's happened to him? Why does he have to sit here? Why can't he get up and doing? He used to be rather imaginative and on the go and so forth. Why does he have to sit here? What is he doing feeling whipped or defeated? Why is he apathetic? Well, hit a brick wall sometimes at 60 miles an hour and then see if you don't feel a little apathetic just before and just after you hit it. This is fairly certain that you'll feel apathetic. Well, that's where he's stuck. He was going to go to Springfield and he never got there. So now he's going to become a painter, but he knows he can't ever become a painter. Why? Because he can't get to Springfield. In other words, everything identifies with everything. Now, why is sex the one thing which is stressed very heavily in Freudian analysis and so forth? That's because sex is the last ditch. I can't go any place myself, but I will be able to put something on the genetic line which keeps at least the genetic line going. Sex comes in when one is personally defeated. The very fact of the arrival of sex at puberty is enough, so true this is enough to convince some child that he isn't going anywhere. You'll find more people stuck at 12 and 13, 14, with the arrival of puberty. More people are stuck there. Why? Well, sex came in when he couldn't survive as an individual. By the way, when food gets short, animals start to procreate like mad. You'd say, this isn't sensible, but then life itself isn't sensible because there isn't any reason for it. All right? Now, any time, by the way, that you feed rats poorly, they'll double, treble their procreation. When you feed them well, they can survive as individuals. They don't procreate. Sex is the last ditch, all right? Now the individual stops himself so that the line can go on, or he stops himself and the line goes on. Well, that is the last ditch of survival. It starts out little by little with the perishing of one's own hopes that he can go on. And it finally gets up onto the second dynamic. People will go on. A soldier, for instance, will lay down his life so his company can survive. He knows he can't live anymore, but his company can live. In other words, survival elsewhere through some other media is the effort. And this is all based on can't arrive personally. Now, when a person gets into a state where he can't arrive personally, he can't be anything, and here you have a preclear who is struggling to be at least a body, and you tell him to be 3 feet back of his head. Oh, no. No. He isn't going to do a thing. He's just going to stall right there. He'll spend all of his time chewing up energy, looking around for C's. Where are the causes? What's the cause of my difficulty? There isn't any cause to the difficulty. That mass of communication lines called a body has enough bypasses, has enough shunt lines, and tangles, and ball-ups, and jams, and identifications in it, so that any time he got thoroughly enmeshed in it, he would just be surrounded by billions and billions of cause points. He couldn't help it. So we want him outside where he can string a straight communication line to the body. One of the happiest ways to solve this is to end cycle for him many times. Now, how do you do this? You merely ask him to be things. Not to pretend to be things, please. Just to be things. Ask him what he can be. Look him over. Take a meter to him. Look him over. Be very sympathetic about the thing. And take the auditor's code. Stay in good communication with him and ask him to be things. What can he be? And you're liable to go an hour with a preclear or 2 hours before he can find something he can be for certain. But listen, when he can be for something for certain, he knows he's not pretending, he knows he can be it. And don't think for a moment that it's going to be something rational that he can be. There is where you will miss the boat every time. You'll miss the boat in two ways, trying to make this process too complicated, and the other one, trying to make it too sensible. It's just be something. All right, I'll give you an example of some of the things that a person can be. Preclears who have been run on this process, who couldn't be anything up to this point. They couldn't be a thing up to the point where they all of a sudden discovered one preclear case sort of fell apart right on this basis. He found he could be something that never got tired. He was the most exhausted man you ever met, and he always had been, but he could be something which never got tired. This with great certainty. Another preclear could be A girl who served soup in Kreskes. That was all she could be. It took, about an hour and a half to get up to the point where this girl found out that she could be this. And this was stopping, by the way, all the effort on the track. This ran back in terrific significances, but we don't follow the significances. The more we follow the significances, in this girl, we made a test of it. All right, what was the test? We wanted to find out why she figured she could be a girl at Kreskes. Well, fine. We found out she could also be an apple packer. That was about all that she could be, though. And these were matters of effort. And later on, we found out by lots more beingness processing, we found out that she could be a teacher and she could be several things which were not dependent upon effort. And we found out that her mother and her father routinely sneered at any activity which embraced effort, and she herself rather liked jobs that had effort in them. And yet, criticism on the part of the family had been so savage on the thing. But did this advance her case a hair? Did it advance it any at all to find this out? It didn't. It, on the contrary, bogged it. What was significant here? All we had to do was to get this pre-clear to be something, and the pre-clear finally became this thing. All right, so we run out several things which the pre-clear can be. They're just pre-clear finally. Well, use the pre-clear says, well, finally, I can be a girl that serves soup at Kreskes. I mean, terrific reaction. All right. You find that she can be that, all right, you say, all right, now be that. Okay, oh yes, I know exactly how I'd have to think and dress and everything. I just know all about this. And now you say, all right, let's find something else you can be. And she goes along the line and finds out she can be an apple packer. So you say, all right, be an apple packer. And she knows all about apple packing. Now we go a little bit further and we find out that she can be a high school teacher. This was brand new, by the way, before the process. She couldn't ever have been a high school teacher. So, she can be a high school teacher now. Okay, she is a high school teacher. She knows why that is. But, knows how that is. We'd bog her if we tried to find out why she could be one, because we're just taking her off of beingness and putting her someplace else. Well, every single one of these is a stop point. Every beingness point's a stop point. So sooner or later, your pre-clear is going to bog. So what do you do in that case? You just run them right back over all the things which you've already had them be. One right after the other. All right? Be a girl that can serve soup at Kreskes. All right? Now be that girl. All right? Next one? Apple packer. All right? Be that girl. Now be the high school teacher. We go right back over that. And we keep a cumulative list on this pre-clear and ask them to run the whole gamut anytime they bog. Okay? That's all there is to the process. You can get too complicated by far. You find out exactly what your pre-clear can be, and then have him be it. And then if he bogs afterwards on later beingnesses, have him go back over the list again and keep the list. Okay? That's all.